Turn to the book of Colossians. We're still in chapter 2. We didn't quite finish last week, so we're just going to wrap up what we were talking about last week. And, of course, Paul has given us a warning here at the end of chapter 2. He's talking about false mysticism and asceticism, and he says there's some things there we need to watch out for. And, of course, he's speaking to a church has never been to, but yet he wanted them to be encouraged in these things. He'd heard good things, and he wanted them to continue in the faith. And that's what, as we study the New Testament, a lot of the letters that Paul has written is to encourage the church or those believers. And he wants to lift them up and strengthen them. And so he shares his heart. He also almost always gives warning. And he does this over and over again. I think it's important that we do it as well, because there are a lot of things out there that want to distract us and draw us away. So I'm just going to begin reading in 2 Colossians chapter 18, go down through verse 23 again tonight. He says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word that Paul has given to us. And now as we continue this, I pray you'd help us to take this warning, heed it, and understand it as well. Paul is just trying to give us some basic thoughts on how to watch out for the things that might destroy us, might hinder us from serving you. And again, we do thank you for your love. We thank you for the word of God tonight. Pray you bless each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. So he's talking about mysticism here. He says, don't let that be your downfall. And what he's talking about in 18b, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And there's a lot of things out there that want to pull you away. Things that are obvious, we know. And so we watch out for those things. But there's lots of different clubs, groups, religions, if you will, that teach false doctrine. And they want to indoctrinate you into those doctrines and have you follow them. And when they do that, they are pulling you away from the things that Christ has given to us. For instance, Catholicism. There's a lot of false teaching in Catholicism. They want you to worship the Pope. Show me in the Bible anywhere where you're to worship any man. You're not. The Bible clearly speaks of that. In fact, John and others, when the people bow down to them, they say, "Don't bow down to me because I'm just a man like you." Scientology. Again, there's a false religion. Mormonism. With Joseph Smith when he received his vision, I guess, again, of the second coming of Christ already. Jehovah's Witness. Dr. Charles used to call them the false witness, Jehovah's false witness. Of course, they believe a lot of things that are false. They believe that the rapture is not going to occur. They don't even believe that Jesus Christ is God. And so there are a lot of things there that we need to be careful of. The religions, every one of these have some truth in them. And it's easy to listen to some of this, and even some real good people, decent people, and yet they've been fed the lie, and they believe it, and they try to get others to believe it. And sometimes people say, "Well, aren't you doing the same thing?" No, I don't think so, because we want to stick with the Bible. The Bible. I've talked to Catholics before. They talk about the other writings, everything else under the sun. And, of course, those are informative, no doubt about it. But the Bible is the Word of God, and that's where we need to hang our hat. And it's important that we do that. And he said that we're not to do this through voluntary humility. That's a false humility. It's trusting in the things that we believe. We're vainly puffed up by this fleshly mind, the things that we think are right. And by doing that, we have this false humility. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, Paul has written these two books specifically to the church here that was struggling. And, of course, many of these churches were struggling too. But this one here, he had to write some hard things to. But in 2 Corinthians, whoops, I'm wrong. 1 Corinthians, how did I get back there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Again, Paul is warning that there are people out there that are going to teach falsely. He says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And again, he says, watch out for these things. Watch out for these cults, if you will. Watch out for Satan and his devices. We are heard many times in many places over the years of different things taking place. For instance, Jonestown. If you've ever remember that massacre that occurred in 1978, a lot of people died. They followed a false leader, and they were duped. They thought it was a religious order. They thought that this guy was someone special. He had the ear of God. He didn't. He was a liar and a thief and a murderer. He killed those people. In fact, he killed some senators, I believe it was, and some photographers that went down there to check out the story, and he killed them as well. And then Waco, Texas. Remember when that took place? Remember all that took place there? Now, that was a mess in 1993. And I think 76 people died in that. And, of course, there's been others over the years that have come out with their false religions. So we want to be careful that we don't follow those. We don't follow man. We follow God. In fact, he says right here, he says, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. We're not to worship angels. Even though sometimes we think, well, they're heavenly bodies. They're angelic, right? Revelation 22, 8 through 9 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So don't bow down to me. Bow down to God. That's who we're to bow down to. Talks about intruding into things not seen. So we want to be careful that we don't go through any special initiations. And there's a lot of things out there that want to do that. The Masonic Lodge has special initiations. The Mormon Church has a special initiation. They have holy underwear and all kinds of things like that, and it's just different stuff. That's not of God. That's not biblical. I can't find it in the Bible. And so we want to stay away from those things. When we accept Christ, of course, we become new creatures. We have a new master. And that master is the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody God puts in positions of authority, we're to follow as well in our lives. And Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus." It's through Christ that we can go into the Holy of Holies. We don't have to go to the priest and see what he has to say. We can actually find it out for ourselves. It's right here. It's given to all of us. How does God reveal the Bible to us? I thought, well, we need to get together in this church. I got a group over here, a group over here. I just looked, I just saw that, and I got a big hole in the middle. Anyway, how does God reveal himself to us, or Jesus? That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word of God. It's through the Holy Spirit's leading that we can learn the things of God. You know, if you're lost, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians that the unsaved think it's foolishness. In fact, it's foolishness unto them, isn't it? It's because they don't have the Spirit of God to help them. You can understand the spirit of man. Why? Remember in that passage, it tells us. I know. Because we have the spirit of man. That's why we can understand it. But those who have the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit can understand the things of God. They're not hidden to them anymore. And God wants to reveal those things to us. And so we have the opportunity, through the fact that we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we can go to the throne. The Bible tells us we can go boldly under the throne of grace. And we can talk to God directly. And you don't have to come to church to do that. You can do that in your home, in your bed, in your living room, driving down the road. You can talk to God. And that whole thing, when you think about it, that's so awesome to know that you can get in touch with the Almighty, the one who sits on the throne, the one who knows and knows all about you. And of course, Christ is the head, he said, verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. There's a lot of folks that they follow false religions, and often those false religions, they lift up man more than they lift up Christ. If you watch anything on TV, and not anything, but a lot of things on TV, you'll see that these people that are speaking, most of it's about them. It's about what they're doing, how they're doing it. They'll say God, and they'll use his name and all that stuff, and they'll proclaim that it's God working through them, but the fact of the matter is, it's them putting on a show most of the time. And so we need to be careful that we're not like that. We want to put Christ in his proper place. Job understood this, Peter understood this, John understood this, Isaiah. And Job 42, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He knew that he wasn't worthy. When we look at Job's life, we think of someone who was a mighty follower of God. He eschewed evil. He feared God. And he trusted God and walked with God. And so we see that. But yet he saw himself. And the closer you and I get to Christ, we see our true selves, that we are not worthy. That we're like these ashes, that we need to repent. And same thing. Peter demonstrated this after seeing the nets filled with fish, after they caught nothing, fishing all night. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He could see Jesus Christ as God. And when you get a close look at that light, boy, you really, and I really, we pale in comparison. And we realize that. When John saw Christ in Revelation 1:17, he says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And of course, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people, a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when we see Jesus Christ in his position, and we get closer to him, we understand who we really are. And it makes a difference in our lives and what we think. It makes a difference specifically and especially how we view things. But then he goes on in verse 20 to 23. He says, Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? He's saying, if you're dead in Christ, we have grace and freedom to live for God. We don't have to follow man's ordinances. And of course, that was the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted to add to the Bible. They wanted to tell people to do certain things which was not ever written in the Bible. In other words, they would take a law and carry it further than it was supposed to be carried. And they would put a bondage on the Jewish folks. And sometimes we do that in church as well, if we're not careful. We put bondages on people's lives. Now, there are things that I believe, and when you study the Bible, you find out it teaches certain things. We want to follow those things, we as Christians. But if you're not a Christian, you're not going to follow those things. And so we need to be careful how we treat people. Like, for instance, anybody could come into our church. They may not dress appropriately. That's okay. Without the living God in their lives, they don't know any better anyway. And when a person gets saved, that's when God starts working in their lives and makes a difference on the outward appearance. And I'm not just talking about your clothes, but your countenance, the way you cut your hair, the way you put makeup on, the different things that you're willing to do that maybe you shouldn't do, or you things you did before you were saved, and that God changes your life. He changes your direction, but it's the Spirit of God working in you. Why do we do what we do? Hopefully, it's because we love the Lord and we want to please Him. We want to be closer to Him. We want to walk with Him and understand Him, because He has a plan for us. He tells us in the Psalms, He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, again, the lamp is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we know that it's there and we have it, and we can look at the Word of God. We can study it, and God will give and reveal to us the deeper things of God. When I got saved, I didn't understand a lot of things about Christianity. I didn't understand why people did certain things. And as I started studying the Bible, I started learning things. For instance, my uncle pointed out to me one time. He says, man shouldn't have long hair. And I go, where's that at? Well, it's in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, who's going to determine what long is? That's, you know, that's a different thing. But the point is that when you get saved, you want to obey the Word of God. You want to follow those principles that are laid out in the Word of God. And whatever they are, and it becomes a desire, because you want to be like Christ. And in this passage, I think he's talking touch not, taste not, handle not. A lot of these probably pertain to the dietary laws. They believe by following these things, they would make you spiritual. Look, cleaning up your act, putting on a suit, tying your tie neatly, wearing specific clothes, attending church faithfully, just doing those things does not make us spiritual. That's not what makes you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is your faith in Christ, and then your works, because you love Christ. If you do what you do because it's duty, there's nothing wrong with that starting out, okay? Because a lot of times that's our understanding. But it should not stay that way. We should learn about what the Bible teaches, have convictions in our lives based on the Word of God. I have convictions in my life based on the Word of God. One of those convictions is I will not go to the beach when I know it's heavy populated, like July 4th, Memorial Day, those times of year. I will not go. Why? Because I know I will be spiritually challenged. And I don't want to do that. I mean, that's giving place to the devil. That's giving him a toehold in my life. And I just don't want to do that. And so those are the type of things we need to practice and put in our life. Is there anything wrong with going to the beach? No, not at all. In fact, you can find some secluded places. You can go on 4th of July. You know, nobody's there. There's nothing wrong with that. God made the beach, you know. God made the mountains. But we also have to be wise in how we approach those things, to not put ourselves in positions, especially our children, our family, where they might fail in their lives. And I want you to know that today there's so many things out there so subtle that it's real easy for one thing to lead to another and to lose our children. So really, Paul is counseling us not to rebel in the way we're supposed to walk, but he's saying there are things, traditions, if you will, that are not important. Some traditions are good. A tradition that is good, I think, is something that does not go against the Scripture. Okay, if it is contrary to the Scripture, it's not good. Don't follow it. And so for us as Christians, we want to obey Christ in everything. Verse 22 says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. He's saying these are men's ideas. These are men's doctrines. Be careful of those. Of course, you know and I know that when you get saved, your appetite changes, right? Now, some are slower than others. Some it takes longer than other people. And really, it's all dependent on how much you are willing to change and how much you read the Bible. If you're someone who, and I've seen young people get saved, older people get saved, and man, they come in the next week, they're different. You don't even recognize them. And you go, why'd you do that? And why, you know, you don't have to ask them, you know. But they feel like they need to do that. They want to do that. And you start seeing them grow in grace and start seeing them taking on what the Scripture says. When they read the Word of God and they hear the Word of God, they say, well, I'm supposed to do that. That's how simple it is. We older Christians, sometimes we are the ones who get critical and think we can outsmart God and try to figure out some way to circumvent His plan. And so, well, I'm not able to do that. So I've heard people tell me this. The reason they won't go knock on a door of a person they don't know is because they feel like they can't speak. And I know, because I'm one of those people. And that was a hindrance for me for a long time. And God brought me through that slowly by sending me out with someone who could speak. And I just had to stand there and hold the stuff, And so they knocked on the door, they did the talking, and I just sit there and kind of shook my head and said, okay. But I realized, though, after a while, is that if God calls you to do that, I don't care how backward you are, I don't care how bad your speech is, God will enable you to communicate with people. He'll do that. And why will He do that? Because that's His plan. So we want to follow that. And our appetites, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Different appetites. Appetites for the things of God. So here in chapter 2, basically Paul is telling us to stay focused on Christ. Keep your eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, he says, so walk ye in Him. So what he's saying is, just the same way by faith that you receive Christ, by faith walk in Him. Walk according to His way. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that is so clear. I mean, that is a conditional statement. That's an if-then statement. If you love me, what are you going to do? You're going to strive to keep His commandments. Are you going to be perfect in that? Why not? Why not? Huh? You haven't grown into completion yet. That's exactly right. But can you be perfect? Is it possible for a Christian to be perfect or complete? Huh? I think even closer to the end you can be, can you not? What does it say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? What's it say? God forbid. What's he saying there is that once you've been saved, you have the power to not sin. That power's not in me personally, but it's in Jesus Christ, who I have a personal relationship with. That's how it is. I don't know about you, but my mistake is I don't consult Christ every single decision I make. And that's where I fail. I use my own wisdom, my own reasoning, or what I've been taught, or my experiences. And I think, well, this will work out. And you know what? It hardly ever does. Sometimes it does, but hardly ever. Because I need to talk to God about this and say, Lord, what is the right decision? And pray about it and let Him help me make that decision. That's what He wants to be, is part of our life. And that is serious. That is sobering to think that's really what He wants in our life. He wants us to be dependent on Him. We're not independent. If you're saved, you're bought with a price. You have a leader. He's the greatest leader there ever was. And He's an example for us. So Paul is warning us to watch out. Watch out for legalism. And legalism, some people think it is by trying to keep the rules and all that stuff. That's not legalism, unless you're trying to keep the rules because you think it gets you to heaven. Now, that's legalism. If you're doing this and doing that thinking that's going to win me to heaven, then that's a legalist, okay? I would say someone who's doing things thinking that makes them spiritual is more pharisaical than legalist. That is thinking like the Pharisees, if I do these things, it makes me spiritual. What makes a person spiritual is following Jesus Christ because they love Him with all their heart, and all their mind, and all their soul. Mysticism, believing that we can come to God outside His Word and His ways. And of course, we combat that with our spiritual union in Christ. And it's through that we can conquer these things. Aestheticism is the denial of self to obtain spirituality. In other words, we say, well, I'm going to not do this, so I'll be spiritual. Now, it's hard because sometimes we don't understand or get the picture right. We look at it through the eyes of man instead of the eyes of God. We come to think, well, Pastor says I ought to read the Bible daily. So I read the Bible daily, so that makes me spiritual. Well, if the reason you're reading your Bible daily is because the pastor said read your Bible daily, that doesn't make you spiritual at all. If you're reading your Bible because you want to find out what God's will is for your life, and you know that's what God wants you to do, that's spiritual, okay? And so sometimes we get the cart before the horse, and we put on these things thinking they make us spiritual. They don't. You can dress the right way. You can brush your teeth. You can comb your hair. You can do all the things on a checklist. That does not make you spiritual. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with a checklist if it's something just to help you to be reminded to do things because you want to do them. But there's something wrong with it if it rules your life and you do these things because, well, pastor's going to talk about it on Sunday and I better do it. Then you got the wrong reasoning. It's because you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And that's the problem that we all have, every one of us, is loving God more than we love ourselves. We get that right, it's all straight. And that's the biggest thing. And it's a challenge every day. Every day when we get up, we've got to make a decision. And sometimes we make the right ones and sometimes we don't. And that's why God puts in the Bible those verses like 1 John 1:9. Because when we don't make the right decisions, we can go to God and confess it and ask Him to help us. And He will. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your word tonight. And we thank You for the fact that You love us so much and You died for us, even that while we were yet sinners. And Father, that death on the cross had a purpose that made the way for a sinner to become holy so we could stand before a holy God. And one day we will. And Your word teaches us that one day we'll give an account for how we lived according to the holiness that we took part in. Father, help each one of us as we look to You to make it a challenge in our lives to take on more each day, day by day, growing in grace and becoming what You want us to be. And Father, we just thank You for the word. Thank You for the opportunity to hear it, to receive it, and Father, to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.